Hi, this is Craig Hirsch, and welcome to the Family Estate and Legacy Program podcast. This podcast deals with your durable power of attorney. There's a lot of confusion about what durable powers of attorney are, so first let me describe that, and then I'm going to describe some particulars about how we draft the powers of attorney and how they're used inside of your estate plan. So what is a durable power of attorney? It is a document that names an attorney in fact, and that doesn't mean your attorney. That doesn't mean Craig Hirsch or Mike Hill or whoever serving as your attorney. The attorney in fact is the named agent under the durable power of attorney, and that agent can do whatever it is that the durable power of attorney document contains, the powers that it contains. Typical powers include like banking transactions, conveying real estate, signing beneficiary designations, signing long-term health care contracts, enforcing your contractual rights. There's all sorts of powers that a durable power of attorney may or may not contain. Under Florida law, like most state laws, the powers must be specific. I can't say, for example, under a durable power of attorney, I grant to my wife, Patty, any power that I have to enter into contracts, do banking transactions, and so forth. That is too general and it won't be used. It can't be enforced. Banks, financial firms, and other individuals relying on the power of attorney will not rely on such a general statement. So you have to be very specific. Back when I started practicing law, our power of attorney form here was roughly 3 or 4 pages. Now it's more than 30 pages. Now, another quick note about durable powers of attorney is that they are only good during your lifetime. In other words, when you die, your power of attorney ceases. Now, when you ask what does durable mean of a durable power of attorney as opposed to a general power of attorney, the durable means that it survives your incapacity. So if I'm just fine like I am now, hopefully you think that I'm well and competent by listening to me. If I should become incompetent, you know, I develop Alzheimer's or dementia, if I have a durable power of attorney, my attorney, in fact, my agent under the power of attorney can still do all of the things that I lay out in the powers of that durable power of attorney. If it's just a general power of attorney upon my incapacity, it ceases. And again, in either case, a durable power of attorney or a general power of attorney ceases at my death. That's when my will takes over, and if I have a revocable living trust, then that controls the disposition of those assets. Now, another note about a power of attorney. If you name more than one party, the way that we like to draft the powers of attorney here is that we have separate powers of attorney. So in my example, let's say that I gave a durable power of attorney to my wife, Patty, and I'm also giving a durable power of attorney to my daughter, Gabrielle. I won't do it in the same document. And the reason that we don't draft those in the same document is if something happens to Patty, for example, she becomes incompetent or she passes away, God forbid, or something like that, now the whole power is ineffective. So we typically grant separate powers to each of the people that you want to grant a separate power to. Now, what that means is the powers are effective as soon as you sign them. So you actually have two people who can transact business for you when you name two powers of attorney. Many of our clients like to name more than one person as a power of attorney in case one of them can't serve or can't act or doesn't want to act. So it's wise to have a backup. But it's important to note that one power of attorney is effective just the same as the other one is. Now, you shouldn't be granting a power of attorney to somebody who won't be acting in your best interests. You know, hopefully you're giving your attorney, you're giving us the names of the people that you trust to be acting in your best interests. That doesn't mean that there could be some disagreement between your different powers of attorney how to act. But what we would ask that you do in that case, when you're granting powers of attorney to more than one person, is to have a conversation with those people and set expectations. Talk to them about what you hope that they do and how you hope that they act. Now, one final note. In 2012 in Florida, the durable power of attorney statute has changed, and it requires one to provide one's initial next to certain powers in order for those powers to be effective. We contain those under the Article 5 of your power of attorney. They're special powers. We have our clients, we talk to our clients about those powers and have them initial them or not initial them as they see fit. So I hope that this podcast assisted you in better understanding durable powers of attorney and provided you some confidence and clarity. We look forward to seeing you soon.